Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us till this country that we love's undivided.
Yep.
Welcome back.
Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Friday, January 27th, 2023, and we're on the phones. David in Wisconsin. I swear we've had this conversation before. The Empire City.
I have spoken of the Empire City. I mentioned that in the past, but this other book I haven't. And these are both posted online, and the significance of it is, I mean, even at this stage, all right, and I haven't done this for a long time. I usually just make phone calls, but I'm gonna write out a letter that's prepared very well, deriving from these two books information that is in them to my representatives, because even though the thread is very thin between constitutional Republican government in this country and whether that's totally broken or not, I disagree with Lark about very few things, but to stick a fork in it is nihilistic, and I'm not a nihilist. That's the only thing I can think of that I disagree with him about at all. But anyway, The Day of the Saxon is the name of this other book by Homer Lee, L-E-A. And just to follow on of the importance of what's in Chapter 10 in that, if you would bear with me for just a couple of more sentences here. This is in Chapter 1 of The Empire of the City, of a quote from Homer Lee's book, The Day of the Saxon. Quote, "For England to preserve to herself the balance of power in Europe, it is necessary to limit the political and territorial expansion of any European state," end of quote. Then the next couple of sentences, or next, two sentences, one or two, is from The Empire of the City. On page 13 of the first edition of The Empire of the City, privately published and copyrighted 1 1/4 years before VE Day, and that's Victory in Europe in 1945, the writer, I'm just saying that for the younger people, obviously. I'm not here to insult anyone's intelligence at all. The writer predicted the coming war with Russia on the basis of the well-defined and unmistakable thread of continuity and the plainly evident pattern of the machinations of the balance of power by the secret British One World Order over the past century. Now, this is completely different than anything from the letter that is alleged to be spurious of Pike to Mazzini. And so I wanted to call in and just bring that to the attention of people that still have a hope that we have some type of a constitutional representative government left yet, and then act on that. Because writing a letter isn't really that hard of a work.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for taking my call again. I don't want to make a pest of myself calling in too often, but I thought this was important enough in light of the situation that's developing right now very rapidly.
Yeah, I would say there's a considerable amount of overlap. So E.C. Newth's Empire of the City was published quietly in 1944 initially, and then, you know, we get Quigley's Tragedy and Hope, and then the Anglo-American Establishment is published posthumously. And so 1966 and 81, I think, respectively. And there's a lot of overlap, a lot of crossover.
Yeah, and the Day of the Saxon goes back to just previous to World War I. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's an overlap. There definitely is a repetition, and there's a continuity. And mm-hmm. and incidentally, I mean, there's so much in these in just in the Empire of the City regarding the fact that there is no English Constitution. And so the English Constitution is whoever is the sovereign, which is a big clue to who has to be, should I say, arrested in terms of the activities that are compelling people to escalate for always more warfare and war profits. So,
well, again, I mean, there are those folks who have said, I mean, the Fabians basically said, you know, we envision and we're working toward kind of a neo-feudalist system. And
yes.
I've mentioned that from Blackstone's commentaries, even Blackstone said basically, you know, the law of feuds trumps a lot of things because, you know, it's might makes right, basically. Might shows
well,
up and says...
It's hard to argue against success. Look at all of the great yeah. castles that were built during that
yeah.
time period when feudalism was the dominating structure.
Mm-hmm.
But then, see, here's the vast difference. Here's the important key difference. They were not apostates. That's when Christianity was vibrant. And it's not difficult to examine Charles Windsor closely and discover that he is apostate. He's mm-hmm. a fake, what would be called a fake Christian, that's riding on the laurels of past victories of accomplishments that were extraordinary. Mm-hmm. So it's a huge argument to try to convince anyone to look into it. But these two books are good books, and I'm going to get off the phone. You always get a bunch of great callers. And that fella that called in, you know, I'm a family self-government man. I'm campaigning for president of my little farm here, my little very small farm. And if I can just make rules enough to get up in the morning early enough to keep my animals fed good, and keep my wood cut so my house is nice and warm, which it is, and get my garden in, praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's what I'm running a president of, self-government. If I can handle my desires to be a big shot, then that's how far I want to stretch it out to the amount of my own ambition at my own place here.
Managing
right.
your own fiefdom.
my that's right. That's another part of the great argument is self-government is what they use the word democracy, which essentially means self-government. That's how people continuously get duped, and it's outrageous that people keep getting hoodwinked forever
mm-hmm.
over that.
Yeah,
hoodwinking. All right.
So
thank you.
One final note before you go. One final note before you go, at least from me, I have one of those study Bibles, and in the opening notes of the book of Jeremiah, I guess the introduction is what they call it. It includes a chronology of the times in the book of Jeremiah, and some points of note that relate just, you know, how I think of Genesis chapter 4, for example, when it comes to the city, and of course Genesis chapter 11, but just conceptually, let's see some points of note chronologically. Jeremiah called of God, Judah under tribute to Assyria. Assyria is an interesting thing these days, you know, and what H.G. Wells wrote about Basra, Iraq, in The Shape of Things to Come. King Josiah killed at Megiddo by Necho of Egypt, who was fighting to bolster Assyria. So skipping down, Jehoiakim reigned over Judah as an Egyptian vassal. Battle of Carchemish, where Nebuchadnezzar defeated Egyptian forces. Nebuchadnezzar entered Palestine and took Daniel and others hostage. Jehoiakim abandoned Egyptian suzerainty and became a vassal of Babylon. So, I mean, you see this concept. This is around 600 BC. And, you know, this is a concept dating back 2,500 years here in this history, you know, what we're talking about, basically. And again, I mean, it's throughout history, like you're talking about, and we don't, because of our rose-colored American glasses, we don't even, it's like we don't even recognize this concept.
Yeah, those lessons of history are there for, see, this is a little bit exciting. There's so much complaining now, and I call it a nation of naggers. I think there are too many naggers in this country.
Yeah,
and
too much time and stuff on our hands.
Yeah, and for the time that people have on their hands, which I have a lot now. I'm older, and you know, I don't have any bills, and that's about all it takes to have some time to study and read some things. But these things are very, very important subject matter in them are posted online, and people are already paying for their service for the computer and everything. They don't have to go shopping all over the world to find a rare book now. They can find it. They could find Plato's Republic if they want to read that online, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And get a better concept of the lessons of history, and then we're all better for it, because then we can articulate our conversations in reality much better. That's all there is to it.
Absolutely. I think a prayer might be, you know, Lord, help me to see how, you know, reading the Bible is, to me, first and foremost, and I would say, you know, a prayer, something along the lines of, Lord, help me see how this is historically relevant and politically relevant today. And there's, you know, it's the same kind of thing, but
first and foremost, I 100% agree.
You know, how these things, you can't, you know, it's a weird thing, I think, for us as Americans in particular. And that's why I've been sort of stuck on the communism is the counterfeit of Acts chapter 2 thing, because, you know, as I've been saying, I mean, I said it the other day, and Fred commented about that. It took 15 years for it to finally be distilled to communism is the counterfeit of Acts chapter 2. That's what it is. And when you are really kind of keyed into what's going on and what the Bible actually says, you can see how the devil has really worked tirelessly down through the ages to do the same things that are echoed throughout the Bible. It's a fascinating thing.
And I think regarding the Bible, I think that what Carol Everett over a personal meal at one of Tom Landry's restaurants many, many years ago, she told me her favorite verse in the Bible was Luke chapter 1, verse 37, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." One short sentence, two negatives in it, that is one of the most positive statements that could ever be said. It's extraordinary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The glory of God right there shines through so much.
Mm-hmm.
And he pulled her out of a lot of darkness. Pulled me out of a lot of darkness, too. Anyway, thank you. I'm going to get off the phone so I don't take up a lot of time. Thank you. God bless. Goodbye.
Thank you. Thank you, David. And God bless you, too. Thank you. Much appreciated, as always. Okay, we lost Mark. Mark, I apologize. That was way too long. My fault. Pat in Texas. Feel free to call back, Mark. If
a couple of things you've been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe that Anthony, he's really mad about the Federal Reserve. And I think I was talking to John Stadtmiller. I know it was John Stadtmiller, but I had a friend one time. He ran for president, but of course he would win on the internet. They didn't know who he was, but the Republicans wouldn't let him even get on a platform, so he Anyway, his name was Charles Collins, and he had experience. I don't remember everything he had to do at state level in Florida, but anyway, he used to say that we could pay off the Federal Reserve because the coinage act is still in effect, and we could make just one big coin and roll it down there and say, here, we're paying you off for everything we owe you. And John Stoutmiller said, you know, that might work. Mm-hmm. He did. And that's one thing, and I think part of a lot of people's problem is we don't know what to do about stuff. It looks like nobody will even investigate, you know. Our audit or whatever, you know, stuff like that.
Which is why I say more prayer. And some people say, oh, that's all you want to do.
No, well,
you know,
you're
what?
Right.
It's the most powerful thing we can do on earth, but let's maybe try it.
I know it. I've been messing with one of my, niece, my marriage, but, oh, gosh, she was having trouble. The hospital wasn't helping her. And I had to put everybody I knew to praying for her. And then when she got well, I had to go back and say thanks and report, you know. Report.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It takes a lot of time, you know. Sometimes people work, you can't get them, and they got it wonderful. I mean, you know, they made it where women have to work now to be able to live. So that's the way it goes, but. Also, too, we have a guy here, Warren Buffett, and he was given to Planned Parenthood, but he's known as a big donator. I'm just waking up sort of myself, but anyway. He was donating to Planned Parenthood, so that tells you where his heart is, right? He practically runs Tarrant County here, so you know you got to be brave to come out and say stuff like that when you live there. But anyway, he got caught in 1996, I think he got caught, So he quit doing it, and that's exactly when Bill and Melinda Gates started their foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And so now everybody gives to them, and they kill everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm putting it bluntly.
Well, yeah, I mean that is the short version.
Well, I guess I just I'm a night owl, so I can try to stay awake till you come on. But anyway, that's exactly the main thing that is the bottom line, you know?
Yeah.
Just kill people. I mean, I could say don't pray for them, but I'm not going to say that. I think everybody has a little bit of reason they should be prayed for, even Joe Biden. I mean, you know, because I said, did you know that Stalin starved the Ukrainians to death at one time? They haven't forgot it. She said, yes, mm-hmm. I know. I said, how do you know? She said, it was on TV. I said, oh, yeah, I forgot. Forgot about TV. But anyway, and they haven't forgot. And you can blame Zelensky and whatever, Volodymyr Zelensky or whatever. But when the people are behind an issue instead of divided, I believe that you can get a lot done.
Yeah. Yep, an interesting point. Thank you, Pat. Free call, folks, stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the Internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on a tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. Dragonfly out in the sun, you know what
Welcome
I
back.
Mean, don't you know? Butterflies all.
All right, a couple of things. So, you know, before we go back to the phones real quick, I think it's curious. The thing that Laurie Schwab Zabin said way back when at the Vassar talk, and we played the clip. Do we have that ready? Can we play that? What she said.
Saying these students blow my mind. They just blow my mind. I remind our faculty all the time that he didn't say these faculty blow my mind. You're the power. Okay. And anyway, he gave us within a few weeks a few million to start a program in leadership and for a five-year program. And 1 year later, they called and said, look, we love your program. You have bigger ideas. What are they? And that's when we started the Institute. And it is not population control. That's a naughty word these days. It is the Bill and Melinda Gates Institute for Population and Reproductive Health. And it's based in the school. And, of course, I stayed on as its founding director.
So Laurie Schwab Zabin did say that. And here's what's crazy. You always wonder, like, why do we have to get the explainer? So even the Associated Press did a fact check on this. And, you know, it concludes this is part of AP's effort to address widely shared misinformation, including work with outside companies and organizations to add factual context to misleading content that is circulating online. And then, you know, click here basically to learn more about fact checking at AP. So the piece published August 23rd, 2022 is titled Gates Foundation Wasn't Named the Institute for Population Control. Isn't it funny how we always have to get the explainer? Why do we need the explainer? And so, you know, we're supposed to believe that words don't mean what they mean, except when they except when they mean what they mean. And so, let me see. There is it this maybe? You know, we're not supposed to. She's the director. There's you know, she's the first director. She doesn't know what it's called, and AP is going to straighten us out. The facts: social media users are sharing the 14-second clip of Vassar's then alumni president misspeaking, falsely claiming it is evidence that the foundation co-chaired by the Microsoft founder and his ex-wife was once named the Institute for Population Control. This is a straw man. That's not the case, you know. And so the explainer really doesn't explain. It's misdirection. And so that's, I think that's interesting. Again, one of the things that's most fascinating to me is that no one ever mentions Rick Allen Jones. Why do you suppose that is? We know that Bill Gates lied about Jeffrey Epstein repeatedly. Why did he choose to fly on Jeffrey Epstein's plane instead of his own? And why did he lie about, well, you know, I was just, you know, trying to help him find money for the Gates Foundation. Really, after Jeffrey Epstein is a convicted, you know, whatever, you're gonna go to this guy? But wait, you didn't get money from him, you gave money to him. So that's strange. Why did you lie about that? Over and over, the lies. And then there are some weird ties there. You know, Boris Nikolic, he was the guy who was named as Epstein's executor, right? The science guy, Bill Gates guy, then Epstein's guy. And then there's the lady, I forget her name. You're not familiar, Whitney Webb. Has detailed all of those connections. Stick around, we'll be right back.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people.
because you can handle the truth.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. Okay, so just real quick to wrap this up, you know, Lori Schwab Zabin, the Institute's founding director, says what she says, but we're not supposed to believe her, according to the Associated Press. And there is this extensive effort to, which I would call a straw man, to try to summarily dismiss this idea that, you know, population control, outrageous. No, that's ridiculous. That's not what the Gates Foundation is doing and what it has picked up where the Rockefeller Foundation brought us to over the course of the 20th century. That's, you know, New York Times reported that. That's not actually happening. There was the Huffington Post piece titled The Long Strange History of Bill Gates' Population Control Conspiracy Theories. How the Billionaire Philanthropist, right, displaced George Soros as the chief boogeyman of the right. You know, the guy that Steve Croft interviewed, George Soros, back in 1998, and said, doesn't it keep you up at night? You know, you were a young Hungarian Jew, and you were loading people onto trains and taking their personal property from them as you were helping to load them on the trains. Doesn't it ever bother you? Does it ever keep you up at night? Steve Croft asked George Soros, and he says, no, not at all. Because, you know, he says, funny thing, you know, like markets, he literally said it wasn't me doing it. He said, like markets, if it wasn't me there, someone would have been doing it, so it wasn't me. That is, whew, man. So if I was raising young children and I found out that the guy who is kind of my house person, my house, you know, technology, chief technology engineer in my house for about a decade, the local police show up at my door to arrest this guy at my house, and they find that he has 6,000 images of child pornography and really awful things in a Google account. Wouldn't you be concerned? Wouldn't you make a public statement and say, you know, we're going to make sure that this guy is prosecuted to the full extent of the law or anything? Nothing from Gates. And even Cairo 7 was, they were stunned. How is it that Rick Allen Jones got a slap on the wrist and 90 days probation? How do you suppose that is? That's interesting. And even Cairo 7 reported, we don't know if he's still working for the Gates family or not. We don't know. That's interesting. When you make a statement and say, you know, this guy will never work, you know, unless, you know, as long as he's whatever. So anyway, we have those kinds of things floating around, and yet we have, you know, things like the AP explainer. Gates Foundation wasn't named the Institute for Population Control. No, the foundation wasn't. But we do know that Bill Gates himself did say this. Go ahead, please.
Now, we put out a lot of carbon dioxide every year, over 26 billion tons. For each American, it's about 20 tons. For people in poor countries, it's less than one ton. It's an average of about 5 tons for everyone on the planet. And somehow we have to make changes that will bring that down to zero. It's been constantly going up. It's only various economic changes that have even flattened it at all. So we have to go from rapidly rising to falling and falling all the way to zero. This equation has four factors, a little bit of multiplication. So you've got a thing on the left, CO2, that you want to get to zero. And that's going to be based on the number of people, the services each person's using on average, the energy on average for each service, and the CO2 being put out per unit of energy. So let's look at each one of these and see how we can get this down to zero. Probably one of these numbers is going to have to get pretty near to zero. That's back from high school algebra. But let's take a look. First, we've got population. The world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%. But there we see an increase.
He actually did say that. He said that. Those words came out of his mouth. We could lower that by 10 or 15%. How do you do that? And he's telling you right there. You know, 26 billion tons of carbon dioxide every year. For each American, it's about 20 tons. 20 tons, really. Well, you know, that's people and services and energy per service and CO2 per unit of energy. Again, may I remind you, this is the guy, Mr. Number Games. He likes playing number games. He's been photographed many times or interviewed with the stack of books on his desk. And on the top of the stack, oftentimes, is Daryl Huff's How to Lie with Statistics. And he wrote a blog post about it March 14, 2015. A Guide to Number Games, How to Lie with Statistics is a Great Introduction to a Crucial Topic. And Gates wrote, one chapter shows how visuals can be used to exaggerate trends and give distorted comparisons. Why would you want to do that? He's not a guy who's accustomed to taking no for an answer. Again, you can listen to Paul Allen talk about that in his own words. Go back and read those old articles from the 90s about Gates growing up and not used to hearing no, even from his mother. So for each American, it's about 20 tons, you know, less than one ton. For people in poor countries, about 5 tons on average, he said. So Americans are 4 times more offensive to Bill Gates, you know, the average American, than most other people on the planet, and 20 times more offensive than the people in poor countries. I wonder what that means. And we're seeing things change. You know, things are shifting in strange ways. You're being encouraged to put all your stuff online. The World Economic Forum says that we will own nothing by 2030 and be happy. And that's been erased. And, you know, just like the AP article, which says, well, you know, we did a search, Lexis search for the name Population Control, Gates Institute for Population Control, and found 700 mentions in press releases and articles between 95 and 2000, returned zero results. You know, searching 95 to 2000 Gates Institute for Population Control, Lexis search returned zero results. So therefore, it never happened. And we'll hear the same thing in 5 or 10 years about the World Economic Forum saying that by 2030 you'll own nothing and be happy. Never been happier. No, it never happened. No, that was all made up. So we're being encouraged to put all of our stuff online. And even though technology, you know, Moore's Law is still kind of in effect and our personal computing power could be increased, it's not. Because we're being encouraged to put stuff online. A, the computing power is greater. You know, put it in the cloud, which, like James Corbett says, is just somebody else's computer somewhere else. But our computer in the cloud is faster. Oh, and by the way, we have a more eco-friendly carbon footprint. So put your stuff out there. And guess what? When you do that, you no longer own it, according to most of the terms of service. And even if you do own it, we might shut down your account if we don't like what we see. So the ESG stuff is happening, and like Vivek Ramaswamy says, the E is the stick, or kind of the carrot, I guess, for the G stick, the environmental social governance stick. You know, you have to be a good eco-friendly person, otherwise we're going to have to come down hard on you. So we're seeing these things shift right before our very eyes. We're being lied to. It's astonishing. All of these fact-checking pieces that don't deal in the facts. You know, Bill Gates did say what we just played. He actually said that. Those are his words coming from his mouth. And if we do a really good job, the world's going headed up to 9 billion people. If we do a really good job, we can lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%. Paul Ehrlich, remember Paul Ehrlich back on Johnny Carson a million years ago when Ehrlich said, you know, plus and minus, you either, you know, I forget exactly how he said it, but it was one of the points, you know, it's either this or that, and one of the this or that was, you know, getting rid of people. And even though Paul Ehrlich's been wrong every single time, somehow we still hear from him at 157 years of age. Why is that? So, anyway, enough about that. Back to the phones. Brian in Washington, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Morning, Chris.
Morning, Brian.
I think I'll just say that Cindy Niles, N-I-L-E-S, in Australia. A few years back, she started doing interviews because she was looking at the future, and like on the yesterday where you played, the hate crime laws are right around the corner. The narrative will be controlled. Cindy saw this window and said, well, if nobody else is going to go out and talk about communitarianism, since it seems to be involved in everything and anything, climate change, the COVID, the Constitution that isn't. I mean, we need to talk about this word. And, you know, she was 15 years after Lark saying the exact same thing to himself. How come nobody's talking about it? Well, I can let Paul in California have his own opinion, and I can't convince him that it's important, but basically Cindy asked, could we redo a Nikki Rapana hour-long documentary called The Green Virgin Part 1 so that it's a little more glossy and less amateur-like? So yesterday, PTL Media Now, Roman numeral 2, put it out on YouTube. It is, you know, he's in parentheses, he says redux, R-E-D-U-X, in other words, a redo. And along with Cindy putting it on her page 16 hours ago on Facebook, she does link to PTL's redo of this documentary. So we have something to try and convince people. But along with that link, Cindy wrote 7 paragraphs, and with your permission, I'm going to try and blow through it because she's in agreement with you. It is confusing by design, complicated word, but it does tie everything in. I'll be quick. May I begin?
Go ahead.
Paradox. Communitarianism is a complex system that inextricably ties adversarial aspects of law, economics, culture, sociology, religion, biology, technology, and philosophy into a cohesive governing system of politics, often oversimplified as technocracy, feudalism, communism, or fascism. Rosa Corey did an excellent job of communicating the logistics or practical applications of the Communitarian Agenda 21 for widespread understanding, but Nikki Frederick Rapana explored its theoretical depths. The paradox.
And by the way, we have neither of those two ladies recently. You know, just as things I would say are starting to really kind of, interest is peaking because people are finally starting to go, I think I understand what you're trying to say about this communitarianism thing. Suddenly we lose Rosa Corey and Nikki Rapana both.
Well, we don't know if John Stadmiller is not on a beach down in California. The same goes for these two. Let me continue, please. The paradox of communitarianism is that once you cross the threshold of its complicated gist, the multi-layered chessboard of policies becomes relatively easy to comprehend. The moving parts come together as one big idea. So what's the gist? Hegelian dialectics are deployed to execute and organize compromise of artificially imposed dichotomies. An example is political red versus political blue becomes the compromise of political purple. Consensus or facade of consensus is key. Communitarianism, being itself a composite ideology, borrows from human history the arts and crafts of war. A multitude of tyrannical systems of government are blended to optimize success of resetting our society. Concepts such as manufacturing consent, divide and conquer, problem-reaction-solution, mass psychosis, and bread and circuses become ultra-transparent to the mind's eye and simple to contextualize. They cease to be a random manifestation of evil people, wicked problems, a word, world gone wrong, polarization, competition, scarcity, mistrust, fragmentation, autonomization, crisis, and built-in loneliness. Unspecific and inverse ideologies such as gender confusion and transhumanism cease to be arbitrary and isolated attacks on humanity from left field. Above all, though, communitarianism offers a formula for detecting what or who is controlled opposition, both deliberate opposition and useful idiots. If nothing else, this matters. There's a link to a Neil Smith in the UK, and he has a Facebook page and is discussing the Hegelian dialectic foisted on us currently by controlled opposition. In closing, Late Nikki's video, The Green Virgin, has some technical revision to make it easier on the ear. Of course, the inherent spirit of convoluted subject matter remains, but the historical documentation must survive and be given its proper dues. Communitarianism didn't come about yesterday. It won't be understood in a day, and it's not going away because it's inconvenient. So if for those interested in a YouTube, it's got 55 views out yesterday, The Green Virgin - Part 1 in parentheses Redux by PTL Media Now, Roman numeral 2. Thank you so much, Chris.
Again, I think you're going kind of fast. Say that again. YouTube what?
The
title of the video and the channel that put it out.
Okay, The Green Virgin - Part 1 in parentheses Redux, R-E-D-U-X, mm-hmm. PTL Media Now, Roman numeral 2.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then what you were reading, where is that located?
Cindy Niles has two Facebook pages, and uh-huh. This one is the red T-shirt with a blue water in the background. So it's out 16 hours ago.
I think it's interesting, you know, the Facebook thing. You know, to put stuff out on social media is arguably beneficial, but exclusively is problematic. Which includes both
and
Facebook
Lark,
and YouTube. So,
yep, Lark says he's going to drop kick it every day, but he still continues to utilize it because he gets feedback from people. It is the tool we're having to deal with. I agree. We need a replacement. We got to use the tools we got.
Mm-hmm. Interesting stuff. Yeah, that's, you know, that. What you read, I feel like, needs a what am I thinking of? Needs a kind of a slower deal or something. It was which deal was that? I think it's the Patrick Bet David interview with Vivek Ramaswamy. I think it's titled "Biden is not running the show." Vivek Ramaswamy on the biggest threat to democracy. I think that's the title of the video on YouTube. And Ramaswamy goes through the ESG, and you know, he doesn't use the word communitarianism, but it's sort of an explainer of a fashion that kind of, you know, I would say it would accompany what you're talking about here. And, you know, again, I mean, it is kind of a religious thing. And, you know, like you said at the outset, communitarianism is designed to be difficult to understand, so that, and constantly changing, but not really. It doesn't change for the Amitai Etzionis and those guys, but it is made to look like it's ever changing to the general public, so that you're moved along in dialectical fashion, and you have to go to the experts for understanding of this thing. And it's reflexive in nature, and the way that it changes is always grabbing the next worst thing. I mean, we don't have to look around. We just need to acknowledge reality and see that people who are talking about these things are it's the opposite of reality. The things that they're saying that we have to do for our own benefit, the benefit of mankind, it's the opposite. And, so, you know, there's evidence for that all around us.
Yeah. So speaking of not ever mentioning the word communitarianism, we still want a mailing address, because the Ken Kesey book we want to send you, Sometimes a Great Notion, it's talking about bringing about communitarianism in 1963 to Oregon, and we're still trying to get people in your region of Montana, like Amanjabi, to get together and discuss this book. Summertime is coming, and we've got several people there hot to do it. So if you send us your address, we'd love to invite you.
Okay, well, yeah, I don't have a problem with that. We can do that. I think, well, you know, one thing that seems to work and has worked, I know, is sending it to the network, and then it gets forwarded on. People have done that even recently, so.
Well, we can do that, Chris. No problem. Thank you for that suggestion.
Just publicly, so people are aware, you know, that's definitely an option. So, and the book is, you know, obviously Kesey as an author is interesting. Kind of a Kerouac kind of a figure, famous for Sometimes a Great Notion, but also One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Counterculture kind of guy, I would say.
CIA operative.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. And we've had that conversation. It's weird. So, you know, I'm nobody, and then all of a sudden I'm somebody. How did that happen? That's interesting. Do tell.
Not much of a head-scratcher for Jen and myself.
Right. No, I, you know, they tried to recruit me, but I said no. But then I became this celebrity. Really? That's interesting.
After my MK Ultra drug test, I had a revisiting of their plan.
And then I became a celebrity and an author. It was amazing. But you know, I never worked for the CIA. Don't worry about that. Anyway.
Have a nice weekend, Chris. Thanks again.
Thank you, Brian. You too, folks. I hope this was probably more, I don't know, maybe entertaining than anything, but I hope it was informative. And as always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. Have a great weekend. And we'll catch you on the other side.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine
could very well be a bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.